Devour the Podcast is for mature audiences only.
Devour
the Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is David, and welcome to another episode of Devour the Leftovers. I know that last time I did this, I said there would be we'd be trying to do these about once a month or so. That kind of hasn't happened, obviously, mostly due to the fact that we can't ever remember to schedule a time to get us all together to just talk about bullshit. And frankly, we're all just busy, so we don't really have time to do that. Also, with Bo joining the show, I've actually ended up cutting out a lot less from episodes, so this, what you're going to be hearing tonight, is less of a collection of full conversations and more some bits and pieces. There's an 11-minute track you'll hear, which is basically just shenanigans that was cut out of episodes, and you'll be hearing about an hour or so worth of discussion, which is a spoiler-filled Rec 3 review between myself, Jamie, Mike from Evil Episodes, and Ted from Slashercast from many, many months ago that I've been sitting on for a while. And yeah, so that's pretty much all that this episode is. It's kind of just a nice little extra bit to give you guys before the next episode comes out. I'm sure I could probably go through some of the random recordings I've got to pull more stuff, but I just didn't have time to go through and figure out what everything is. That's all very disorganized at the moment. But hopefully you guys will enjoy this. It's just sort of another quickie behind-the-scenes look at the show. More silliness, really. We will be doing another more... I'd say we'll probably start recording some more extra content for the show as time goes by. We'll probably just set aside a day to just do... an extra day to record while we just record random stuff for these bonus shows. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy this, and we will be back for episode 41, and we'll hopefully you guys enjoy it. Later.
Our show is now on Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Okay, so let's see if you're going to sync up with us. I am at 1 second in, currently. I'm looking at a glowing horizon at the moment. Prior to the Universal logo cresting right over it.
Yes, I am there.
Okay.
And so just give me the count, and I'm ready to start whenever you guys are.
Hang on, I have to get to where you guys are, because... Where are you looking at?
I'm looking at the glowing horizon prior to the Universal logo coming up over it.
Okay. Tell me when your Universal logo hits, and I'll start then, because it's difficult for me to navigate.
Okay. Let's see. Glowing Earth. Logo coming around, and...
Oh, see, mine didn't even do that. Mine dissolved onto the screen.
Well, I am now looking at the Universal logo prior to the whatever it is, but it's glowing out pretty, so... Those of you listening who are syncing up with the Universal copy of the DVD... It's 15 seconds in. I don't know what I don't know if Shout Factory has it different or whatever, but like I said, this will all be on the blog and you'll be able to watch it synced up properly. So, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ready to go.
So, three, two, one. So, this is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. This was released in 1982, directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, written by Tommy Lee Wallace and Nigel Neal, although technically he was taken off of the... he has to be removed from the credits because he didn't like how the film turned out. And, yeah.
That's a shame.
I know.
How about some history on this? I saw this in the theater. Anybody else? Bo?
Oh,
no, you didn't,
no,
David.
That wasn't live.
Hey, guys, I'm sorry to fuck this up, but when I unpaused it, my video is all screwed up. So if you would, just pause and kind of tell me where you are.
Yeah, I just paused after.
My screen says... Oh, sorry.
Oh, I just paused after Mustafa Akkad. I can back up a little bit.
Mine says starring Tom Atkins. So I'm gone farther ahead.
Go ahead and back up to where it says Mustafa Akkad presents. I'll fix most of this in post.
I'll fix it in post. Wow. I've gotten really far.
Or you said it in the Diamond District, and it's gin and Jews.
Oh.
That's so wildly inappropriate.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
I love it. And what are you apologizing for? Funny is funny.
So we've got a bunch of cool stuff. We've got a... Fuck.
Who the fuck is that?
I don't know. Who's got the most annoying ringtone you can possibly add to a phone?
I didn't add it. It came with it.
Whatever. Wub, wub, wub. Fart noises. Wub, wub, wub.
Edit and post. Yeah. Oh, wait. During the leftovers segment, that was cracking me up. How many times were like, post. And then she's like, edit. Okay. You can find a theater listing. Inside of what? There's nowhere are we going to be able to post. In the interview, he talks about the difficulty in making video game movies and how it has to be a fine balance between pleasing the fans of the games and opening it up to a mainstream audience. Fucking shit.
Fuck you, Kabuki Man. Nobody likes you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of work in the tech industry, and that's... It's just so much more convenient for me, and it makes sense for me. So I'm always like, why aren't you using Google Calendars? What are you, an asshole?
I do use Google Calendars when it's appropriate, but it doesn't always do what I need it to do.
Yeah, but you can sync that shit to your phone now. Like,
anyway.
You could have somebody
but
enter.
But I can't hand my phone over to someone else and be like, here, keep it. I mean, that's my phone. Synopsis, Grave Encounters. Oh, no. God damn it.
Yeah, you don't have to read every part of the press release.
I know. I love werewolf movies. I get them.
Okay.
They used to call that the vapors. That is not the Southern Fighter Pilot voice, by the way.
Okay.
I hit the sound barrier. I've got the vapors.
That's like my aunt.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Play with me. I'm in a good mood tonight. All right.
Okay. So.
You ready?
Yes. 3, 2, 1. Along with me is Dave. Fuck.
God, I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
It is so hot here.
No, I completely understand.
It is so hot. I'm just like, my brain is not working. I'm all squirmy. Okay. You'll find cover. They won't, will they?
It's okay, I'll cut it out.
Man, I'm sorry. That name just threw me. I love that name. I want the name Bender's Bank. That's just fun.
Okay. That is a pretty fun one.
You'll have to forgive me. It's getting close to the full moon. I've just been gone for 6 weeks. I am nuts. Like, I am seriously crazy. Okay. What the hell did I just read? Reese put together by the thing. Oh, okay. All right, next up is Rob Zombie's latest Lords of Salem. Shit.
nobody cares. They used to call that the vapors.
The reason why seems to lie in the unsolved murder of his girlfriend, Minghella, who will play a public defender named Lee Torno.
There was a period there after girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Period.
I don't see a period.
I'm staring at a period.
I don't see a period.
Okay, fine. Well, anyway.
Okay, I'll start over.
Okay.
Okay, but I seriously don't see it. David, did you see that picture I sent you?
Yes.
Yeah, see, no period. There's no
okay, fine. Well,
I took a picture of my screen and there was no period. I mean, I'm sure there was one there. I just couldn't see it. Okay, hang on a second. Are you hearing those annoying beeps on my... I'm trying to... I keep getting added to this conversation that I keep trying to get out of. Just where, I mean, at least when I'm recording, but they keep adding me back. Leave. Okay. What?
Set yourself doorway.
Will that actually stop?
Yeah, that should stop the man. Because I'm always set to a way.
Okay.
Okay, so 3. 2,
hello!
1.
Oh, by the way, I loved how you wrapped around last week's episode with the, do you speak it?
Dissolve, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Do you that, speak it?
Yes.
Yes, that made me laugh as well.
I do.
You should do that every episode.
I do. Like, I try to pull a good quote from every episode, but, you know, I can't always get a good one sometimes. But anyway, all right, so 3.
Wait, what are we doing? The news.
News. Same thing we do every week.
Oh, we do a lot of stuff every week.
I know. Okay, so 3, 2, 1.
If you gotta rub one out, we can take 10 minutes.
I totally just recorded that. Okay, 3.
Awesome.
Okay.
Bonus content.
Yes. Okay. So 3, 2, 1. 3.
That was a Quantum Leap reference.
Oh, I haven't watched the show in years, so shut up. Jesus. Okay, so 3, 2, 1.
So spoil it immediately. No. Okay.
Okay, so 3, 2.
So you stay here. Don't let him leave.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. We're going with you.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Okay, so.
I think he's done it.
3, 2, 1.
All right, and. I wish I could remember what the hell I was going to say. It really bothers me.
It'll probably come to you, so just try to write it down if it does. So, 3, 2, 1. 3.
Are you just goofing around? Oh, I guess so if you're counting. Yeah, sorry.
Right.
God damn it.
Okay. So, 3. Oh, shit. What the hell?
Hold on. Is that me? Oh, yeah. I think that was the battery alert on my fire alarm. I'm sorry about that.
My God.
Jesus Christ. Whose fire alarm's going off?
Yeah. No, that was me. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right, let's try this one more time. So 3.
All right, we're good.
2, 1. So,
you're going to call us G's and...
Cracker ass honkies.
I'm like, what's up, cuz?
Okay, so I've got the sync recording. So.
All right. Is everyone pretty much ready?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. All right, I'm going to set a marker, and then I'll go.
Kick him in the face.
I like the cut of your jib. The ceiling, Grandma. Don't make me get out the broom. Listen, I gotta tell you, Jerry, we're not gonna invite you up anymore if you keep going on like this. Sorry about your army. Oh, your tears are like wine.
You dishonored his family. Right in his face.
Yay.
Hello.
Go, I've got this job. Blah, blah.
I say every house in America should have an electric chair. And every man just once in his life should sit in it. just so that he can feel the power of millions of gallons of electricity flow through his veins.
I got an electric chair. That's all I need. You get an electric chair, Sheldon, you don't have to worry about the audience. You get an electric chair, you can tell them anything you want, as long as it's real. You get yourself an electric chair and it'll sit there all night long. Kind of a funny idea, sitting in an electric chair and doing a show. Well, think of the therapeutic value of an electric chair and all the money it is. Yes, an electric chair in every home.
The Electric Chair, a show about horror. ElectricChairShow.com.
Electric Chair. Wow.
And now our feature presentation.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to bear witness to this holy matrimony, to celebrate a love that is caring, accepting, and enduring of all things. For what God has joined together, let no man tear apart.
Genesis.
Okay, and here we are. We're going to be talking about Rec 3. This is going to be a little bonus bit, and we have some special guests with us. I'm so excited. First, I'd like to say hi to David.
Hello.
You know David from Devour. Or at least you better. And if you don't, then you will after this. Now, Ted from SlasherCast. I'm so happy he decided to join us.
I'm so happy too. Happy. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So, thank you. This is awesome.
So to give a little background on why we're kind of doing this, as you know from all our freaking previous episodes, me and Jamie listened to SlasherCast pretty much every week. And last episode, you guys reviewed Rec 3, and it was a movie that I had originally intended on watching eventually, but it happened to be one of those reviews where like everyone kind of had their own distinct opinion on it, and Jamie, of course, was a part of that episode. Mm-hmm. So it kind of excelled my interest in wanting to see the movie and kind of talk to her the next time we got together to record, and so I decided, hey, you know, why not grab someone from SlasherCast if they have the time, and then came along Ted.
Yay! Awesome. And it's actually, it's cool that it worked out that way since I'm the only member of SlasherCast that is out on the West Coast. And so I'm sure, you know, one or more of the other guys would have loved to come on, but they're obviously functioning on East Coast time. So it's, you know, it's after midnight there now. So bitches.
Hey, I'm on the East Coast and I'm hanging. I'm no pussy.
You're absolutely right. Do you hear that, SlasherCast? I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by you.
He's going to come join our show now.
I'm embarrassed by you. Yeah, we're going to make a trade. We're going to make like a baseball trade.
We're going to take Ted and they can have a bag of Fritos.
Hey, they're the four pinky fingers now.
Seriously. They're the four pinky fingers on a limp-wristed hand.
Oh.
Wow, Ted. Ted is working on.
Ted left and took all the man.
I jest. I'm super SlasherCast till I die.
Oh
yeah, it's a really awesome show.
I thought it was gonna get you.
No, You've got me.
Yeah, it's one of the only horror podcasts I actually make sure to listen to every week.
Yeah, it's on my list now. It's that, nice. Electric Chair, and Corpse Cast that are my top three that I'm listening to most of the time.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think Nick tweeted me last week that we mentioned Slashercast 18 times on the last episode, so we'll see if inadvertently we break that record in this segment alone.
Wow. All right.
I almost didn't believe him that it was that many times, and I'm like, do I really want to go back and listen to see if he counted correctly? But I'm like, I'll just take his word for it.
Take his word for it. Yeah, he's not the type to overhype like that, unless it's about burgers.
So anyways, yeah, Rec 3. David, did you want to give a synopsis of Rec 3?
Sure thing. So this is from IMDb, and Rec 3 Genesis was released this year. It is currently on video on demand and is hitting DVD in October, I think, or September. Anybody know?
I do not.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to say it's October, but I could be making that up. Yeah. I do that sometimes.
It's coming to DVD at some point in the near future from Magnet. And the synopsis is, a couple's wedding day turns into a horrific event as some of the guests start showing signs of strange illness. And this was written and directed by Paco Plaza.
Okay. And because Ted and Jamie have actually reviewed this already for Slashercast, I wanted to kind of throw it to them first and kind of give their general thoughts. You know, they don't have to go through their entire reviews all over again. And then I guess if you guys remember pretty much what the consensus was on Slashercast, just, you know, was it more favorable, unfavorable? But you can get into that too.
It was them being wrong.
To quote Whatever. Ted, the movie shit in my eyes. Yes. B+.
For anybody that didn't get to listen to the episode, I actually got to go see an advanced screening of Rec 3 for a review that I wrote for planetfury.com. And I was giving my feelings on it. I was quite disenchanted with the film just because I am such a rabid fan, no pun intended, of the first two Rec films. Rec 1 is, I thought, was like phenomenally scary, just kind of like came out of nowhere for me. And then Rec 2 actually managed to top it, and it was just like fucking brilliant. So obviously expectations were pretty much unmeetable, but even still, I was jazzed to see it, and I was just left very, 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 very underwhelmed and disappointed. And so I came home, and I still had another week to go before Jack and Nick and Dave and Mike, the rest of the guys on the show, saw it. And so I didn't want to start like blowing up, you know, Twitter with my thoughts or whatever. So I just texted Jack, and I was just like, I smell Spanish food. Oh no, wait. That was Paco Plaza taking a bland shit in my eye sockets with fucking Rec 3. And that served as my as my mini review in a nutshell.
Then yeah. B+.
A-.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
A-. No, I would give it, I think I gave it a C- on the show. It's not a bad zombie film. If it didn't package itself as part of the Rec series as a Rec film, I think I would have had a much more favorable reaction, or at least disliked it less. But as it stands, I think that it's a very, very, very poor follow-up to what are two of like the best horror movies of the last 10 years, in my opinion.
Okay.
So that's me.
What about you, Jamie?
Daunting. I thought it was awesome. I really had a good time with this one. I mean, yeah, it was different from the first two, and I addressed that. I don't care. It was fun. You know, there was a lot of action. I thought the makeup was great. The shots were beautiful. I mean, we went away from the POV partially into this, and then you get some really beautiful shots. I mean, I thought it was gorgeous. So, I really had a good time. I, on the show, I think I actually gave it a B. But see, that's good for me. I mean, that's not like, on Slashercast, yeah, they're like, A is good, B is bad. Everything else we don't use. Oh. you can technically give up to an F or down to an F, but I don't know what they would have to do. Movie would have to do to get an F on that show.
Really, but see, don't. That's the thing. Like, and in past episodes on that show, we've even established, at least with Nick, like an F isn't even always necessarily a bad thing, because he loves bad movies. So he'll just be like, this movie was fucking great. It was like so bad, but I loved it, and I watched it 6 times. I'm giving it an F, but like I'm actually watching it in the background now, and I'm loving it. Ha ha ha. Burgers.
Yeah. I've always, you know, I've always struggled on how to exactly come up with a rating system myself, only because I like what'll happen is I'll start ranking movies with some type of rating, and then like some time goes by, and then I think a movie I'm going to rate it similar, but then I think, okay, how I felt about the movies are so far apart, but I end up giving them the same type of rating. So like even myself, I'm still working on how exactly to do that. I know early in the podcast, me and Derek did like a 1 out of 10, but what I ended up doing is like I would almost rank everything like a 5 or a 6, which sounds bad, but you know, out of 10, I would say a 6 is still like solid, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, but it doesn't sound good saying a 6, but really, right. I mean, it meant solid.
Yeah, it's like if I go to a club and I look at a girl and I say like, "Oh, she's a 6," and I'll still sleep with her.
Is that before shots or after?
And that's like as soon as I walk through the door, I'm like 6. Okay, let's go.
Either that, or that's how many shots you had to do before.
Either that's or yeah. So, well, no, that's how many shots I need to make her do.
Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I guess David, you're up next. What are your initial thoughts?
I saw Wreck initially when it hit DVD, and I'd heard a lot of buzz about it. Heard it was this big. This was like the second coming of foreign zombies, and this was amazing. And I got to say, it was awesome. I didn't watch Quarantine because I thought, why am I going to watch this? I already saw it when it was called Wreck. I don't need white people to tell me the same story. I followed Wreck 2. I just didn't get around to it till very recently. I actually watched that this weekend and was really impressed with it. It did a lot of things I really liked. It did the kind of 5 minutes later sequel thing that I really enjoy. And I went into Wreck 3 kind of not knowing a whole lot about it, other than having seen that it was supposed to be taking place at a wedding, that the electric chair had given it a good rating, and that Slasher Cast was doing it on their upcoming show, and I wanted to watch it before I heard that episode. So I sat down to watch it, and generally speaking, I enjoyed it. There were some issues I had with it, but I look at it as knowing that they're going to be doing a 4 and a 5. For me, as I came out of the movie, I thought, you know, that was good. There's some problems with a couple problems here and there with it, but overall I enjoyed it, and I can see how some people won't like this because they're going to be expecting more of Wreck and Wreck 2, and this takes the root of other franchise third entries like Friday the 13th Part 3, Nightmare 3, Halloween 3 especially, where they try something completely different or they try a different angle. And it's going to piss some people off, and some people are going to really like it. And I think when it comes time to look at the series as a whole, we'll have a better idea of how it fits. But for me, as a film in the Wreck franchise, in the Wreck universe, I enjoyed it. Was it amazing? No. But was it, you know, terrible? Nah, no. The humor, the little bit of humor there was fine. And honestly, one of the biggest gripes that I typically have with found footage is, why the fuck are you still carrying the camera? Was addressed really quickly. And I think the transition from found footage to standard shooting was actually really smart. So.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, for me, I guess I would kind of fall in the middle of everyone, I guess. I found the movie to be enjoyable as a standalone zombie movie. It didn't feel like a Wreck movie to me, though, after seeing the first two. Yeah, I've seen the first two a few times each, kind of echoing everyone else's sentiments. I thought the first two were amazing, probably two of my favorite horror movies I've seen, you know, in the past few years, as far as just any horror period goes. I thought they were like a real model of how to do found footage. When I was done watching this, I was kind of looking for an analogy with like maybe another franchise of how the series kind of takes a turn, and like the best I could come up with at the time is what I kind of put in my notes was comparing it kind of to Hellraiser 3. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with Hellraiser
3. I can agree with you there, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And because, I mean, with Hellraiser 3, it had the Cenobites. It had those kind of kills. It had, you know, puzzle box. It had elements of Hellraiser, of the first two in there. But you could definitely see, like, Clive Barker's influence on the source material kind of slipping away. And it didn't have the same feel the first two. Now, there were plenty of things about Hellraiser 3 I liked, and like as a standalone movie, that was I still found it, you know, good enough to be passable. And I would say probably I enjoyed Wreck 3 a little more than Hellraiser 3, you know, going back to that comparison. But, you know, I understand why some people will give this a pass because it was entertaining So they're not really bothered by the kind of changing in it. But for me, it's kind of like, well, that was your guys' fault for calling it Rec 3 and making a different film. So, I mean, if you're going to make a Rec 3, then it should be held up to the standards of the first two and like the type of movies those are. So, I mean, still, you know, like I said, I still found it enjoyable, and there's plenty of things I liked, which I guess we'll get into in a second, but I still don't want to not take away points just because of the total kind of detraction it took from the other two. So I guess with that, we can just start getting into points in the movie.
Are we going to be spoiling this one? Or?
Oh, yeah, this is
okay.
Totally spoiling.
Our show is all spoilers all the time.
Well, yeah, I know. I'll make a note to add that to the episode when I do it. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Mike, to make the Hellraiser 3 comparison, and I don't know why I didn't think of it myself, probably because I really hate that movie. But I think you hit it on the head that it is very much, it's got the trappings of Wreck, it's got a nice coat of Wreck paint on it, but it went kind of a traditional type of zombie story with the Wreck around it. You know, because we got the flourishes of Wreck, we got the religious angle, we've got the obvious nod to the original film in the background in the control room scene with Koldo, and the TV has got the news reporter on it.
Mm-hmm.
The priest character quoting Genesis and talking about the priest from the first two films. And I think that it, you know, in a sense, like I felt like it was fine for what it was. But I do understand where if I were more attached to the Wreck films, I would have been a little more upset about it. As it was sort of like I saw Wreck and thought, oh, that's a great movie. And then I haven't seen it since. That was probably 2 or 3 years ago. And then Wreck 2 was like, oh, that was a really good movie. And then going to this one's like, oh, yeah, that's kind of more of the same. But I do think that there were a lot, just too many characters running around. I mean, I understandably it's a wedding, but it was just a ton of characters everywhere. And while the initial breakout, which is like 15, almost 20 minutes into the movie, which I think was actually a great way of getting things going, kind of detracted, because as soon as the chaos breaks out, it's like there's just shit going on everywhere and you can't focus on any one thing. And then it quickly becomes these two characters that were trying to find each other, and oh yeah, here's all the other characters that are going on, but we're gonna just gonna kill them off over here, kill them off over there, so you don't get too attached to any of them because they're just gonna die shortly.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this supposed to be? I mean, I don't really think it's a sequel, but was it? I thought I read somewhere like before the movie came out that it's kind of supposed to be happening side by side with the first one, like kind of at the same time.
Yeah, it is. I heard that. Like beforehand, and this was actually something I think that the guys on SlasherCast made mention of in one of their news stories, was that the movie was supposed to be a prequel, and it goes on at the same time, because if you we said we're spoiling, the uncle. Or whoever shows up at the beginning when they're still doing the found footage, shows up with the bite on his hand. Mm-hmm. And right. He says, oh yeah, I got bitten by a dog. And then you think that they talked about the dog that got brought out of the tenement building to the vet. That was the pet of the little girl who was the first one to get infected in Wreck Part 1. And so while the dog is like infecting people on the outside, the little girl is infecting people on the inside during the events of the first two films. So it's basically going on concurrently. So, which is why I thought that Genesis is like the subtitle is just like it's a misnomer and it's like not even necessary.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. I think the subtitle more ties into because Genesis plays such a heavy part in what the priest is doing to kind of
save
the zombies. But I do agree that it's an unnecessary subtitle.
Yeah. I think subtitles in general, like I can think of very few that don't just make your eyes roll. Like there's no need for them. Like Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, especially because I know from like Wreck 1 to Wreck 2, it was basically like one of those sequels that kind of takes place like immediately afterward. Like kind of almost flips as like one long movie if you wanted to watch it like that. Yeah.
Absolutely does. Which is why I have friends of mine that hadn't seen, either Rec 1 or 2, and I organized a viewing party where we watched them back to back, and like there was no like bathroom break or anything like that, and we just rolled right into the second one. It's such an awesome experience, and I mean, like, I was bummed that like I couldn't experience it like that for the first time, but I mean, if there's anybody that's listening that hasn't seen Rec 1 or 2, I don't know why you'd be listening to a Rec 3 episode if you haven't, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, get them and watch them like back to back. It's such a rewarding experience because they're both such awesome movies.
Yeah, and if you, for those out there that haven't seen either Rec or Quarantine, do not see Quarantine first, because
woof.
I made that mistake of seeing Quarantine in the theater because I almost heard about Quarantine and Rec at like the same time. Yeah, I don't know what the hell, because usually I don't go see the remake first, and I ended up seeing it and I was like, oh, that's okay. And then I ended up just doing a blind buy on Rec because I automatically assumed, well, I'm sure the original is going to be better. And so I just bought it and I was like blown away. I was like, oh, why the fuck did I spoil like a lot of the shit by seeing Quarantine first? And I saw Rec 2 first, and I ended up seeing Quarantine 2, but luckily Quarantine 2 really goes off on its own and has nothing to do with Rec 2, so that would at least save you from spoiling there. And I almost, Quarantine 2 was like a direct to DVD that I almost think was better than the first Quarantine, but I mean, that's a different story, I guess. Yeah, now a new, was Element in here a new thing where the they kind of figured out like that the infected were like acting all as one from the brain of like the main zombie demon thing?
It was more addressed in the second one.
Like, yeah,
that was the first time that was really addressed.
Yeah,
and then it was the priest who brought that up in the second one, and so it makes sense that the priest in this one makes the same connection. But yeah, I'm not sure. You brought up the dog. I had completely forgotten that there was even a dog in the first one, or there had been a mention of a dog in the first one, because I just remembered it was like this virus thing had happened, and I remembered that it was the girl who was possessed, and then that was of course the main focus of the second one, is that it's possession, and that's what this virus is, and you know, the whole we need to find the blood, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And,
which I thought was a really awesome take.
Oh yeah, that was
absolutely.
That was
absolutely.
Actually one of the things I really enjoyed both Rec and Rec 2 so much, was because it was not only just, hey, we're doing a new take on, we're doing this new zombie thing, which is always fine, and this was prior to the big zombie boom, which I'm ready to kill myself over, but it was not just that, but it was like, hey, we're going to do something totally original and different you haven't seen before, and that was great. And so when they got to doing 3, it was, like I said, it was a zombie movie with a coat of Rec paint on it. So, I liked parts of it. The story itself for Rec 3 isn't terrible. I mean, it's all right. I think there were too many characters.
Well, one thing I'll tell you, right, like, one of the major, I guess, problems you could say I had with it was I thought the scene, or just that where it takes place, you know, it's a lot more wide open than the first two.
Yes.
And I thought for the most part, like, it totally lost like the claustrophobic feeling of the first two. Anytime they shut the door on the zombies, you know, the next room would be wide open, kind of safe for a while. They had time to kind of come up with plans and stuff. And in the first two, like, once, you know, people start getting infected and it just goes, and there's really never a sense of any safety, you know, at all throughout the whole movies. And I thought that was kind of lost on this one too, which kind of was one of the major differences that I was disappointed with this one in.
I get that. And like I said, for me, this one does. It felt like it definitely took the typical third film approach of, we're going to do something completely different. So, you know, we lose the found footage about 20 minutes in. Everything's a lot brighter. Everything's a lot bigger. And that works in some cases, and it doesn't work in others. You know, like I said, the big cast, it doesn't really work because there's just too many people floating around. And it's never a matter of, oh, you never get attached to enough of them. It's just sort of like they're there, and then they end up being a set piece to get killed. You know, it's like we've got the group that goes into the church, and I loved the moment where he gets St. George's armor. I thought that was a cool scene. But then he sees all of them escaping to the bus and then getting murdered at the bus. And it was like, I get that you need to get rid of all those characters, but did you need all of them there in the first place?
Did you feel that like this one also tried to introduce some elements of comedy? And I mean, did you?
Yeah,
I'm kind of a little out of place a
Well, with Sponge John, I thought that was funny, admittedly. That whole little thing with him was a funny, I thought that was a funny element. And I think that they got rid of him just fast enough that it wasn't too much of a problem, because we introduced him quickly.
Sponge John.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
This movie had two parts that made me chuckle, and that's why that one and something else that I'll say afterwards. Okay. But go ahead.
But yeah, they introduced Sponge John. He's funny. He has a whole little funny bit of dialogue about what he is and why he is Sponge John and not SpongeBob. And then he sort of disappears for a while, and then all of a sudden he's back, and you're like, oh, he's back, and he's got a gun. And then he gets killed, and you're like, oh, well, fuck it, there he goes, you know, and then that's it. One of the things that really bugged me was the French girl. Like, that whole bit of dialogue she has with Clara was just so unnecessary. And I mean, I get that they were setting up for this big attack scene that takes place, and that's fine, but I felt like that was kind of a first draft kind of mistake. Just like, okay, well, we're going to have these two characters talking, and it's just a setup for this, you know, jump scare, basically. That wasn't even really a jump scare, because we knew that there was something behind the mirror the entire time, more or less. So it was just sort of like, oh, hey, look, this character's about to die. Oh, no. And then, you know, character dies.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay, Ted, you were going to say something about...
Oh, the Sponge Juan or whatever. that was funny. And the other part was at the end. I thought the end was stupid, but the part where the grandpa bites the girl because he's got his failed hearing aid in and he can't hear the incantation. I thought like that was really, really, really clever.
Yeah, I completely forgotten about the grandfather at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be like, it would have been one thing if they hadn't addressed it earlier, but they addressed it as sort of like a throwaway thing. And like, that's why I thought that it worked and it was clever that they brought it back around.
Yeah, because that was my thing, because I remember they addressed it like at the very beginning, and it was just sort of like I was watching kind of everything else, because like there's a woman off in the background in the very beginning of one of the shots at the beginning of the movie before they go into the church, who's just sort of off in the background like in an alleyway, and I'm like sitting there going, well, who the hell is she and what's she doing? And so there's like I'm trying to pick up on that stuff, and then missing shit like, you know, oh, granddad's hearing aid doesn't work, and you just go, oh, right, and then he sort of disappears into the flow of everybody else.
Exactly.
And then when he pops up again, I thought that was a great, you know, it was a clever way of doing things. I wasn't crazy about how long it took him to cut her arm off, because I was like, seriously, just fucking do it. And then...
At least they had for fail.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that took way too long. Don't tell me that's going to work.
Yeah, the ending just took a little too long. I mean, admittedly, she looked great as a zombie. I think she got way more attractive as the movie went on, because that haircut looked really bad at first. And then as she got more freaked out, psychotic with the weaponry, she got way more attractive. But the ending was just, I mean, I get it. They were trying to go for this romantic thing, and that was fine. But I kind of agree with, I don't remember who said it on SlasherCast, that if they just, you know, faded to black and had them just have the sound of gunshots, that would have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I like this, you know, I kind of like the scene where they're like reaching, they're holding hands as they die. That's kind of sweet. But that whole sequence at the end just takes way too fucking long. That could have been cut down considerably.
And I know like a point that was brought up on SlasherCast was like, what kind of weak ass quarantine was that? Because I mean, if you compare it to the first two, well, like once they quarantine that building, they wouldn't even let people like go by the windows, or you're getting bullets shot at you. And this one, they're just kind of walking through the little, what do you call it? The tubing stuff. And
house, as it like, was referred to.
They're constantly yelling at them. Quit walking.
Yeah.
No, we're going to keep walking.
Yeah, okay. I kept expecting them to just open fire. They did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And
yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess we can transition to some of the things we liked. Because, you know, like I said, I still found the movie somewhat enjoyable. Yeah. So I will say that it had some pretty cool kill scenes. Mm-hmm. The chainsaw cutting the dude in half was awesome. Yeah. The little food mixer. Was it to the uncle?
Yeah.
To the uncle's mouth?
Yeah, it was to the uncle's mouth.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Now, obviously, this one had a bigger budget than the other two, and I think that part of that was well used as far as the zombies themselves go. I thought the makeup was really well done, and the gore, you know, was pretty well done as well. I did like that they, you know, tried to keep some of the religious undertones to the outbreak. That spike, the what was it? The like mace? The spike ball, the mace. Yeah. When he turns around and just plugs it into the guy's head.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. I don't know. Like, what? So what about you guys? What are some elements that you actually liked about the movie?
Do you have any cricket noises? That would be awesome if you could put those.
Jamie's probably listing them all right now, but she's on mute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jamie. Shut up. Just shut the fuck up.
Jamie's like, I just named 10.
I already told you in the beginning what I liked about it. I thought it was beautiful. I loved the blood. You know what? This is something good. What I really liked was the part where anytime like you walked past or through the banquet hall where they were all, it was like just melee, you know, and you could hear just like people screaming, being attacked, and other people just going about their business.
Yeah.
Like doing whatever they have to do to get away or whatever. But there are people just being grabbed and thrown down and screaming. And that, anytime it just gave me the chills, you know, just watching all the chaos and just like, oh God, these are your family members that are just being ripped to shreds. And you can't worry about that right now because you have to save yourself and the, in the group that you're with or whatever. And I don't know. It was just, I thought that was really gave me the creeps. I thought that was well done.
Yeah, it was very interesting how like lots of stuff was going on in the background.
Oh, go ahead, Ted.
I was like, honestly, people. That's what a couple of the guys on Slasher Guys were saying. Like, oh, the gore was really good. Like, it's got some good kills. I really wasn't too impressed with it at all. Like, yeah, okay, there was some chainsawing. There was some, you know, hacking of limbs. Okay, like they used a whatever on the dude's face. Like, I don't know. It just didn't. Nothing felt like anything that I hadn't already seen done better elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like. And even the amount of blood, like there was so much blood in the first and especially in the second movie, and or maybe it just seemed that way because of like the first person point of view where you're really like you're stuck in the middle of it where it's literally all around you. I don't know. It just it just felt so sanitized.
Well, I would say on that point that you're bringing up, I definitely feel that the style and tone of this one was a little more splatter. And the first two, it was more like that vicious, like realistic.
Yeah. Kind
of visceral. Like when someone got bit, it was like you're getting by like a rabid pit bull almost. Yeah. And it was kind of played for like the, splatter style, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that turned into another problem instead of what we liked, but hey, it had to be said.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I totally get that point. I mean, just overall, I would say Rec 3 kind of just, it's hard to talk about the movie, just constantly bring up the point that it's a different movie than the first two. You know, it's, you know, I can repeat that the first two kind of felt like it could be one long movie, and then there's Rec 3, which is kind of like in its own universe.
Yeah.
And some people have more of a problem. Some people have a less, you know, lesser problem with that.
For me, I feel like if you were to take this as like Rec and Rec 2 being, you know, one, if you took that as one film or as that's like a novel, for my analogy, Rec 3 is kind of a nice short story of other shit that's going on during that time. Like it's just sort of a side off to the side thing that's like, hey, here's a group of people who are completely unrelated to the events of this other thing that's happening, but that stuff is still happening to them. As far as stuff I liked from it, you know, SpongeWand was hilarious. I liked most of the characters that we actually spent time with. I liked Koldo, I liked Clara. The family members we saw, whatever. The violence was fine. I mean, it was like Ted said, it's nothing I haven't seen before. I mean, the chainsaw scene, yeah, it was cool to see somebody get sawed in half, but I...
It always is.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's always good to see someone get sawed in half with a chainsaw in a horror movie. I was confused when she cut her dress, because she only cut off like that one half. I was like, what? Why aren't you like cutting the whole thing? That didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it felt like a zombie movie with a nice coat of wreck paint on it, because you know we had the religious stuff, but it was just sort of like, oh hey, remember this is why this is this way, you know. And I think because I just watched Wreck 2, it was like, yeah, you're just repeating the same thing we had from the first one or the last movie. And you know, I like that he had the armor. I thought that was a clever way of getting around, because you don't see that very often in horror movies, somebody running around in fucking plate armor. I was a little confused as to why he just dropped the mace after he took out the one zombie and just left it there. I was like, why aren't you taking that with you? The tunnel scene, the tunnel sequence, I was kind of expecting more out of it, really. I was expecting it to be longer. I was expecting more fighting. I was expecting more chainsawing going on.
Mm.
The decapitation, yeah, it was cool, but all of the death scenes in this, like, were just, they were cool splatter scenes, but it wasn't anything of great substance. This was kind of the popcorn movie of this franchise, I feel like. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I think that if they had possibly, I don't know, if they marketed this maybe a little differently and maybe not said it was a prequel, but a, I don't know, something else, not necessarily
yeah,
a prequel.
Yeah, I was going into it before I had read anything about it. I was hoping too for like a little more insight on like the origin of the
virus
and the religious tones. I wanted more.
I'd love to see a whole movie about the girl and the priest and that whole thing. That would be great, but instead we got this, which is fine. And you know, I think it was the special features on the original Rec. They said, oh, we've got, you know, up to the third movie already planned out. So it's like, all right, cool, you guys have got this thing that far figured out. I'm down for the ride. This one wasn't great, but I still enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, and that's kind of weird too, because this one's all, yeah, like you said, this almost kind of feels like a side story to the first two.
Yeah,
kind of like this was kind of going on while this was happening, and we're just going to tell you someone else's story.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting once the franchise is kind of, once they've gotten them all out and they're all, the franchise has a chance to settle, we'll be able to kind of look at it as a whole and be able to decide, okay, you know, here's how this story flows, and you know, the events of this movie take place here and this takes place here, and we'll get a better idea of the big picture. Because right now what we're seeing is, here's these events that happened here, what we think is the beginning, and then here's this little side story. And the side story, it could be important later on. I mean, it could play into Rec 4 or 5. We don't know yet. But for the moment, I feel like it's just not quite what everybody was expecting. And I think it's going to upset a lot of people.
Yeah. Now, does anyone know kind of like what the outline synopsis is supposed to be for the fourth one at all?
I have absolutely no idea. The only thing that I know is like they had the tagline for the third and fourth one, and they just refer to them as two radically different films, because obviously Paco Plaza directed this one, and his partner from the first two Rec films, Jaume Balagueró, I'm fucking that name up, I apologize.
You have to say it like you said it last week.
No, but dude, I bullshitted that because with all gringos that don't know shit. And so I was like, guys, it's Jaume Balagueró. And they were like,
so cute.
They were like, that is bilingual. Aye.
It's because you live in Southern California.
Exactly. Yeah. They're all like, yeah.
Yeah.
But they said, so the tagline said that they're two, you know, quote unquote, radically different films. So,
and we've already seen that this one was, so.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and by the way, this one ended. I'm assuming the fourth can't really be an extension of this because, you know, everyone died.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you may have, like, they may go back to, like, the people that were in the church or, you know, who knows what. I don't know. I mean, like, my biggest thing, I think, and I've said, like, I have a problem with the fact that this is, you know, marketed as a Rec film, seeing as how it, you know, doesn't really have, it really has, in my opinion, kind of like a weak tie-in to the first two, although it's there, and I'll admit that. If we'd had, like, the reporter woman from the first two films, mm-hmm. you know, she leaves the building at the end of the second one, right?
Right.
If she was somehow like an attendee at this wedding and she somehow sort of started wreaking havoc, mm-hmm. I would have even been more on board with that. If everything else had stayed the same, I would have been more on board with that. But it just seemed like I saw so little of what I loved about the first two in this movie that I don't know.
And I think that's kind of the inherent danger of doing the quasi prequel, because this is, in a way, this is almost, this feels more like a fourth or fifth film than it does a third, because you can kind of get away with something like this, you know, later on in a franchise. It's like you need at least the first 3 to 4 films in a franchise to be solid, more or less the same kind of structure. You can get away with changing things up in the third one, but you can't go too far out of the way or you're going to fuck everything up.
Right.
And if you're going to go, you know, play with some different ideas, you know, you can do that later in the franchise. You know, like Saw 6, for example, they did something totally different while still basically keeping the framework. And you know,
exactly. Well, and my thing is, like, to be like, even though I got some enjoyment out of this movie, after the third one, my main thought when I think of Wreck as where it stands now as a franchise is I still want to go back to that original apartment building to see what the hell's going on in there now. Like, that's still what my mind is on. Like, I want to know what's happening next in that original, you know, quarantine building,
right?
And what's you know, what is the aftermath of what's going on there? And that's even after I just watched Wreck 3. So it's like I still am drawn to the first two as far as that story goes, where I think Wreck 3 is more of, like you said, like a throwaway popcorn movie as far as Wreck
and
goes.
Maybe that's where number 4 and 5 will go. We'll get that expansion of what happens after 2. And like I said, you know, maybe once the whole franchise is out and we can look at them all as a cohesive whole, we might get a bit of a better idea of how this whole thing fits together. But, you know, at the moment, it's kind of, it's an awkward spot, really.
So how would you feel if the subtitle for the fourth one was Paranormal Rectivity?
Dude, I swear to God, that sounds
that
like
makes
a porno.
I know. It makes it sound like it's involved.
It makes it sound like it's an all anal porno.
Yes.
Paranormal Erectivity.
That's even better.
Ooh.
So,
I might cover that.
I guess we can bring it around now.
Yeah,
I mean,
say, do we want to
cover it pretty extensively?
Kind of give our ratings for this, or and how do we want to do ratings on this? Are you doing 1 to 10? Or
I don't even know. I mean, I guess for me, if I don't have like an official rating for it, I can say I found the movie enjoyable, but.
Would you recommend it?
Would I recommend it? I would recommend, I would still say watch it, just going into it, depending on, I mean, if you loved the first two like I did and you found the unique elements about them, what you really loved about them, you just have to be guarded and kind of cautious that you're going to get something different. And if you can separate yourself from the first two, you might still end up enjoying this one for what it is. Just expect, you know, something different. But I would still say the things I like about it were good enough to where it still was entertaining.
Okay. Ted.
Yep.
Your final thoughts and
Final thoughts. I would not be so quick to tell people to see this. I think that see the first two, definitely. Don't rush out to see this one. I think if Wreck 4 comes out and Wreck 4 kicks ass, even if it's not quite up to the first two, but if it's better than the third one, then I might say go ahead and watch the third one and the fourth one. But I mean, as it stands, I'm going to have to wait and make that call once Wreck 4 comes out, which, you know, I'm not going to let this, taint my excitement for Wreck 4. It does.
It's taint.
My God.
Sorry.
I'm not going to let it color my expectations.
Racist.
For fuck's sake.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still like excited as hell to see Wreck 4, and obviously I'm gonna see it. But this one did give me some pause. You know, and gave me a little bit of a knot in my stomach as a Wreck fan. Saying like, oh God, oh no, has it completely shit the bed? Like, are they just doing it for money now, or, you know, who knows?
Right.
I mean, and like kind of going to what Mike said about, you know, a movie sort of in a franchise moving away after, you know, 4 or 5 installments. I think I made that point on our show, like, excuse me, if this had been, you know, the way like Darren Lynn Bousman came on the Saw franchise and like took over, like part three or part four, or like wherever he came in, and sort of. Oh, really?
He did.
Well, maybe
two,
that's not the best example. You're right. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I mean, so somebody came on different than the ones who handled the original.
Right.
And I guess you saw as an example. Like, I'm a really big fan of Saw 1.
Yes.
And pretty much everything after that, I just really didn't care for. Mm-hmm. If this had been like Saw, or excuse me, if this had been like Rec 4 or 5, and, you know, it had been like a, you know, new writer, new director that they brought on, blah, 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 giving like their take on it, I would have been like, okay. But I mean, to get this from the guy who was the maker of the first two, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all the more disappointing.
Definitely.
Definitely understandable. Jamie, your kind of final thoughts, and would you recommend this?
Yeah, I would recommend it. I don't know how many times I have to say what? What's so funny? What's so funny?
Nothing.
Fine. I don't know how many. I don't know how many times I have to say I liked this movie. It was fun. You jackass.
It's fair enough. For me, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was a pretty average for a zombie movie. I'd say it was above average for a rec film. It was below what I was expecting for a rec film. Like I said, I mean, I'm still willing to sit and watch Rec 4, and I'll probably watch Rec 5 if Rec 4 is good. I'm not necessarily going to run out and buy this one on DVD. I have no, you know, would I sit and watch this with somebody who hasn't seen it yet? Yeah, probably. I could sit through it again. If my girlfriend wanted to watch it, I think I'd probably sit with her. She'd probably enjoy it. Was it good for a single watch? Yeah. It didn't run too long. It was like 80 minutes or so. So it didn't drag. It didn't have enough time to drag, thankfully. But it wasn't, you know, it was a good idea. They had some good ideas, but they kind of blew their load with all the ideas they had. They just sort of went, okay, here's all these ideas we have, and some of them worked, and some of them just sort of fell apart. So if you haven't seen it yet, if you can get it on Redbox or VOD for relatively cheap, check it out. But otherwise, it's okay.
Cool. Well, that is Rec 3. And, you know, I want to thank Ted for joining us.
Teddy.
Yeah, like I mentioned at the beginning, this was actually, you know, I consider this kind of a continuation of the review of Rec 3 that Ted, Jamie, and the rest of the SlasherCast gang did on their podcast. So if you have not listened to that episode, I definitely recommend to go listen to that.
Definitely.
And because, you know, they all pretty much had different opinions on it as well, ranging mm-hmm. from liking it to kind of being lukewarm. And they get into like a mirage of of different opinions and stuff, and as always, it's hilarious. Yep. So definitely check out that episode. And Ted, thanks a bunch for joining us, and especially on the last Dude. Minute.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, man. This is a lot of fun. I'd be stoked to come on anytime you need a new talking head.
Anytime we just need some Ted.
Or anytime you just need, yeah, I give great Ted, by the way.
I always, great well, that's Ted. Good, because I give great oral.
Ooh. Wow.
Oral. Yeah.
Anytime I listen to SlasherCast and I'm like, hey, I want to watch that movie now, then I'll be like hitting you guys up on Skype. Hey, come over here and talk more about it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm more than happy. And I mean, hey, you know, you hit us up like at the perfect time. You know, I mean, we were just wrapping up our show. And so I'm always more than happy to roll over on to the next Skype call.
Cool. I actually think I have like.
Roll over.
I think I've had
for fuck's
all of
sake,
you...
Jamie.
I know. Damn.
I'm gonna hose you down.
Ooh. I actually think I've had every member of SlasherCast on at one time now, besides Jack.
Wow.
Really?
I've had Jack
because we've had Nick on for Jersey Shore Shark Attack, which
that's right.
I'm sure that was a pleasant experience for him.
That was fun to listen to, though.
Yeah, and
he was
had...
relatively like well tempered. I was, I don't know if you guys gave him Quaaludes beforehand or something like that, but he was.
He was yelling at me.
He was, but not the way he yells at us.
Well, you're boys.
That's true. It's
probably had to do with the source material being eliciting a lack of emotion.
Exactly. I think you're right.
Yeah, and then I had two other guys. The human IMDb and...
Yep, Dave.
And shit, what's the other guy's name? Michael. I think Mike. Yeah, they came on.
Is he the guy that talks like that?
Well, you said it, but yeah, they came on to do the river. So
That's right.
That totally surprised me for the first time I heard his voice. I was not expecting that. I'm just like,
Give us an impression of what you were expecting.
No.
Yeah, so I guess now I'm going to have to find a way to get Jack in here.
Yeah. I don't know.
I talk to him like every day. I can get him.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that that he would be more than happy. As any of us would be to come on. This is a lot of fun. You guys are all awesome. David, I'm glad that I got to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike, actually, this is the first time that I actually have spoken to you since you stood me up at Viscera.
Yeah, I was just going to say, next time I go down to LA, I will make it a point to buy you a beer or something.
Definitely, man. Definitely. We totally got to hang. Because Sacramento's not, what's that, like three hours, 2 hours?
No, it's like 6 to 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like far.
I'm geographically retarded, so.
I'm actually closer to LA than
it's just like it. It's a California thing. People just don't realize like how freaking long the state is. Yeah. But I was gonna say, next time I go down there, I'll try to stop in the Bay and pick up David.
Yes, please.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, because he's technically on the way, sort of, just depending on the route I go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have to head like southwest before I go south, but yeah, he's not that far. So, yeah, we'll have to plan something like for a convention or something that'll get us down there for like a good amount of time.
Yeah,
totally.
I might be down there for Halloween Horror Nights with Doug, who I mentioned before from Season Pass Podcasts, because he covers that every year for his show. So he was talking about taking me down there with him this year. So that's a possibility.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I know Jack's coming out. I think Dave is coming out. I don't know about Nick or Mike for Son of Monster Palooza.
Yeah.
Monster Palooza, right.
I had talked about coming out for that, and I'd be
coming out.
And as it turns out, I would be staying in the same place that Jack is staying.
Oh, no Jason's bed again? No?
No. No, I would be staying with Ken Hall.
Oh, hell yeah. He's that's somebody you should have on.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. I love the shit out of Ken.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome.
That's a great idea.
We've been saying that, too. You know what? I'm tempted to give you dibs on him since I came up with the idea on your show.
Aww.
All right, mark it down.
All right.
I have it on tape.
I'm calling it.
You have it on tape, but you better get on it because it's...
I'll get on it.
Not going to last forever. I know you will. Get on that bald head.
Oh, Lord.
Take that mustache ride.
The bear head.
Yeah, that back. Bald eagle head.
She likes it raw.
Oh, man.
Well,
you've mistaken me for someone who's choosy. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know how
that
goes.
Mike, why don't you wrap this up so we can get on with that other review we still have to do?
Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, this is where I got to bow out. But yes.
Yeah.
But thank you guys again so much for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Bye, Ted.
And you've got an open invitation for Devour the Podcast anytime.
Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. I will definitely
every Wednesday, so hit us up if you see us on.
You record on Wednesday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what your next episode's going to be?
We're doing Poultrygeist and Toxic Avenger.
Aye.
I'll keep you.
Hey Ted, before you go, do you?
I'm only so much of a self punisher. I don't.
You know who loved Poltergeist though was Nick.
Yeah, he did.
Dude, oh my god, Nick has like the world's biggest, wettest, rubbery hard on for bad movies.
Well, we'll figure out. We'll pick some better movies. You know, we wanted to do something kind of fun, and we kind of threw it together at the last minute. So it was Trauma.
Sure.
Hey Ted, before you go, do you happen to do any type of horror gaming, like games?
I don't. You know, no, man. It's the gamers.
Jason does.
Jason does. Jason's got game for sure.
Right?
I get his like runoff. Like the girls, I get the girls that like stumble out of his bedroom and looking for the bathroom and accidentally wander into my room by mistake. That's how I get laid.
Oh, well, I'll have to remember that the next time I'm out there.
That's what I'm saying. No, Jason's a gamer, but no, Nick and Dave are really are the big gamers.
I was talking to them about maybe putting together like an all gaming episode of the podcast. And I just, I knew those two were big gamers. I just wasn't sure if anyone else from the cast was too.
I think Jack plays, not nearly as much as Nick and Dave do. I don't think Mike does. And, I only really picked up a controller to take a stab at Resident Evil, 5 like last week. So I don't know jack shit.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just thought I'd ask, but again, thanks a lot for coming on, and we'll back anytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah, we'll be in touch.
All right, man. Have a good one. Okay.
All right. You guys have a good rest of the night.
All right. Cut. You too, baby.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Love you. I do love him. He's my Ted. He's so cute.
He's your teddy bear.
Do you like horror podcasts that are family friendly, with boring hosts with bad opinions, that like to perform circle jerks on each other every episode? If you do, you're in luck. There are plenty of other podcasts and other network of podcasts out there that you can listen to. But if you like to have fun and realize that the horror genre is based on this, and you want to listen to entertaining hosts each and every show talk about not only popular horror movies, but also foreign, indie horror, and rare obscure gems, then look no further than Horrorphilia.com and our Horrorphilia Network of Podcasts. We currently host 9 radically different podcasts with many more to come. I guarantee you we have something for every horror fan out there. Well, unless you're one of these people that get easily offended, don't like to try something new, or just some type of pompous douchebag. In that case, we don't want you listening anyways. For everyone else, come on down to Horrorphilia and prepare to have multiple eargasms each and every week. Horrorphilia, the sashimi of horror podcasting.
If you wish to contact Devour the Podcast, you can reach us by email at CenobiteDave, that's CenobiteDave@gmail.com, or Maven1974@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at D Delamorte, DDELLAMORTE, or Maven1974. To visit the site, go to devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. And now you can leave a message on our fancy new voicemail at 760-661-7280.